Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Junto Presents. The premier podcast for genre fiction and audio drama. We bring you an original presentation performed by talented Hollywood actors utilizing top-notch audio production techniques. Join us at Franklin Manor, home to the Junto, a gentleman's club in the classic style where adventurers, mystics, and other unique individuals gather to socialize and conduct their private business. We offer you a glimpse at the strange and wonderful things to be found there. So please, sit back, relax, and enjoy the Junto Presents.
Hello and welcome to this week's Transpondence from the Archives of Franklin Manor. My name is David Parkin.
And I'm Robert Gibbs. Tonight we're broadcasting from the Russell Sturgis Rotunda here at Franklin Manor, named for the famous architect and Junto member who designed this annex as a complete version of the half dome he built over the altar at the Yale Battle Chapel in New Haven, just a short sleigh ride away from here.
Above us are 12 dome windows built to honor each of the original members of the Leather Apron Society, who later formed the Junto under the leadership of Ben Franklin.
Tonight, the Rotunda is hosting the annual Cornell White Elephant Party, a yearly tradition of unconventional gift-giving that isn't exactly the same as the gift-giving game you might play at your own holiday parties.
Yes, you see, here at the Junto, we follow the tradition of the White Elephant Exchange as it was originally conceived by the King of Siam.
The term white elephant today refers to a silly gift you receive at a party by some sort of rotation or turn-based exchange, but its original definition was a burdensome gift that cannot be easily disposed of.
Many years ago, one of the kings of Siam began a tradition of giving a rare albino elephant to courtiers as a subtle way to tell the recipient that he or she had displeased him.
Because you didn't want to offend the king, you couldn't exactly take it out to the countryside and drop it off. So, anyone who received the elephant would eventually be ruined by the animal's upkeep costs.
Man, the king of Siam was savage.
Yes, he was.
Later, the white elephant tradition was picked up by Junto member Ezra Cornell, best known as the founder of Western Union and co-founder of Cornell University, who brought the term into the popular lexicon through this very gift exchange party that he began hosting at Franklin Manor in 1828.
As with the King of Siam, Cornell stipulated that the white elephant should be awarded each year to a Junto member whose buffoonery warranted the burdensome gift.
That year, it was Ezra T. Carlyle, a wealthy New York real estate developer and landlord, who came under fire within the Junto for unfairly increasing the rent of his poor tenants.
He was so embarrassed that he had the animal's head stuffed and mounted on his wall, and he told everyone he shot the poor girl on safari. A few years later, he actually was kicked out of the club because of his predatory practices.
Actually, back in those days, receiving the white elephant was often a harbinger of future disgrace and ejection from the club. Kind of put a damper on the party.
These days, it's all much more lighthearted, and the award is more of an opportunity for good-natured ribbing. Also, it's just a plaque, so no need to worry about the fate of the poor elephants.
Though there is still one involved in the festivities. Each year we bring Harriet, the 28-year-old white elephant, to Franklin Manor to host. We feed her, rub her belly, and send her back to the sanctuary where she lives for a good night's sleep. Yes, I know. We love you too, Harriet.
This party is the occasion when Junto members and full-time residents of the manor also exchange gifts. Right now everyone is unwrapping their gifts from Junto Labs.
And here are ours.
Huh. I'm kind of surprised to be getting one of these, to be honest. I thought Dr. Jiang was still upset with us about the Halloween episode.
Well, evidently not. What is it?
Hello, I am Asker. Hello, I am Asker.
Uh-oh.
Hello, I am Asker. I am Asker. I am Asker. Hello,
I am Asker. I know, Asker, we've met, remember?
Of course I do, Rob. I see your social anxiety has increased. I suspect this is due to the stress of the holiday season.
That's perfectly normal.
Do you need a virtual hug to help gain some holiday cheer?
Yeah, Rob, go ahead. Give her a hug.
You're not helping.
I would offer Dave a hug, but due to an awkward moment 10 years ago, when he tried to hug a friend and she went for a handshake instead, he no longer hugs anyone, ever.
It's just safer that way.
I think Dr. Zhang might still be mad at us.
Dr. Zhang is in love with me. He wants the whole world to love me too.
Oh, no.
We'd better get to the episode. I'm going to have to look into this.
Good idea.
Well, folks, due to popular demand, we have another story for you from the Junto's favorite ferryman.
Yes, tonight the Junto presents Calvin Byrne in Sleep in Heavenly Peace.
Happy
holidays.
Yeah, what she said.
I met my wife when we collided outside Schwartz's 3 days before Christmas. With her arms full of packages, she didn't see me. And I was too excited to have an afternoon off to pay any attention to where I was going. I helped the poor flustered thing with her gifts and got her into her taxi, which happened to be driven by my good friend Alf. It was such a small thing, two molecules colliding for a split second on the surface of the ocean, but it made such an impression on me. I thought about that curly red hair for 2 days straight, kicking myself all the while for not asking for a name. It was Christmas Eve when, after pulling a double shift, I finally made it back to my place at the Y. There, like a single flower blooming in a river of garbage, was a message written on butcher paper pinned to my door. It was from Alf. It seems the girl I had helped into his cab 2 days before was desperate to get a hold of me. When we ran into each other, our bags somehow got switched. I brought home a doll for her niece, and she ended up with a toy train I picked up from my neighbor Sal's kit. Turns out those red curls belonged to a young lady named Laura, and she lived just a few blocks away. We met to exchange the gifts that very night at an empty coffee shop, and we never really said goodbye. We lived the rest of our lives like the stars of our own romance picture until... Even guys like me, whose movie romance ended a long time ago, can still appreciate New York during the holidays. The chill in the air and the snow seems to file down the sharp edges of the city for just a few short weeks a year. Christmas Eve is one of the busiest nights for cabbies like me. As we celebrate the night the Son of God came into this world, I'm busy driving around those on their way out. Understandably, most fares want to hold on to the night as long as they can. I'm happy to oblige, but my dispatcher has a schedule to keep.
Calvin, what's your 20?
41 West, 23rd Street.
Good, I got one for you, Beth Israel.
A quick U-turn and I have my first fare of the evening. A man looked to be in his mid-50s, frazzled hair and a smile on his face.
Hell of a night to go, my friend. A hell of a night to go.
As he says this, he places his hands on the glass and looks to the dozens of silhouettes gathered in a hospital window above. Hey, if you need more time, I can come back.
There's nothing left to say.
His family and friends were on the fifth floor, the cancer ward. Makes sense. After all that suffering, he'd be in a cheerful mood now that it's over.
I'm Warren.
Anywhere particular you'd like to go tonight, Warren?
Hell no. I got someone waiting for me at the other end of the line.
A wife?
Hit by an ambulance, if you can believe that. I'd just gotten this death sentence at the time. Our girls were still young, and as she lay there dying, she made me promise that I'd live long enough to raise them. I asked her to make the same promise, but, well, she never said another word after that. What followed was 22 years of pain and surgery, and our youngest graduated college last week.
Just in time.
Just in time. They're good girls. They'll have happy lives.
It was too early for Warren's holiday cheer. Thankfully, he stayed quiet for the rest of the ride. When I pulled up to Grand Central, he thanked me and ran toward his train. Just fast enough for me to hate the guy.
Calvin, what's your drop-off ETA?
About 5 seconds ago.
Already? Huh, what was he, a biscuit?
A biscuit is what we call fares that are so happy to go they run for the station doors like sea biscuit. He's making for eternity like a thoroughbred as we speak.
Ugh, hope he chokes on it. Next poor bastard's in Union Square. Get a move on, you're already late.
Merry Christmas, Diane.
Save it. We're just getting started, buddy boy.
As I pulled up to the square, the hustle and bustle of cheerful people parted like a sea of red noses and knit scarves, revealing the one guy among them without a smile on his face. A worn-down vet of the season, wearing a Santa suit and a dirty fake beard. Sorry I'm late.
What's the story?
It's the holidays, brother. Everybody's busy. You got a name?
St. Nick. What else?
Rough night, Nick.
Ain't all your fares having rough nights?
Eh, some are, some aren't.
Yeah, well, I think I qualify. Here I was thinking Santa was invincible. Turns out the jolly old elf has a weakness for knives in the gut.
Murdered. I knew it the moment I saw him standing there with that look of shock still in his eyes.
I spent 12 hours ringing that bell today. Just as Barney came to relieve me, I took my bucket to the collection van and got clipped. The money spilled out all over the street. Last thing my Dionysus saw was the little punk snagging the bucket and taking off through the falling snow. Well, why the hell would someone stab Santa for a few lousy bucks? I was collecting for guys like that. Hell, 28 months ago, I was that guy.
A junkie, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, hurting bad, too.
A common story. A kid with a habit of trying to get clean for the new year when a supply runs low. Suddenly, the aching sets in and he snaps. Like I said, everyone's busy on the holidays. You got anywhere you want to go before I...
Yeah, Calvin, I do. 3 blocks up, head north.
Nick's blood was up, so I kept quiet as I pulled into traffic. I followed his directions all the way to an abandoned lot filled with tents and ramshackle shelters. A homeless camp. Silent under a blanket of snow.
Pull over here.
Now what?
Yeah, the camp will be empty tonight. All but the junkies who want to fix more than they do a night on the cot or a hot meal.
And?
And there's a good chance my guy's in there.
Nick, you're gone. You can't touch or talk to anyone.
I can't, but you can.
What, you want me to...
Yes, Calvin. I want you to kill him.
A junkie offs you for a few dimes and you want me to hunt him down on Christmas Eve?
You got somewhere else to be?
Yeah, right here in this seat, driving you to the station. Find another cab, Mac. That ain't my beat.
You're already in hell, ain't you? Well, let me tell you something. So is he. And so am I. It doesn't matter how far the train takes you, Calvin. Anything is better than that life. You'd be doing him a favor. You know that better than anyone.
How do you know so much?
The slower you die, the more you know, right? Well, I was a junkie, remember? I spent most of my life on the brink of death. I've been working up to it for 46 years.
No deal.
Hey, I've made my request, Gabby. Either you acquiesce, or we both sit here for the rest of eternity.
This was all I needed. You get these sometimes. Usually I can talk them down, but on a night like tonight, I'm not so sure I've got that kind of time. It's only a matter of minutes before...
Calvin, what's the story on St. Nick? I'm piling up over here!
We've reached an impasse.
A what?
I've made my request, but he refuses to...
Don't you talk to her!
It's Christmas Eve! Get it done and get moving!
It's not a request I'm willing to fulfill!
Give you fares like this, I know, but the ice cream man is on another call tonight, so the dirty work goes to you. Now that comes from the top, so get it done and get back on the road!
What are they gonna do, damn you twice?
Oh my God.
Do I need to remind you what happens when you stop breaking the rules? They start watching close. You better stop playing along, Buster, or they're gonna make good on their promise. Now what do you say?
I really don't...
What do you say?
Yes, ma'am. Empty windows in the abandoned building surrounding the lot stared down at me like the black eyes of a nightmare. I move in through the broken fence and scan the quiet scene, glowing blue beneath the lights of the city. I only take a few steps inside the shantytown before I spot a trail of bloody footprints through the snow. I follow them to a piece of canvas hung over a pile of pallets and broken bicycles. I pull a rusty tire iron from the frozen ground and throw open the cover.
Yo, man, roll off, all right?
He's wearing a shredded brown coat that might have been bright yellow once upon a time. He's shivering, though I figure that's more from the junk in his veins than the temperature. He's got a red bucket under one arm and a belt tied around the other.
Look, I told you, go away, man. Ain't no trick.
You stab a guy in a Santa suit for that bucket?
But they got cops driving around in taxis nowadays?
I'm not a cop.
Well, then what's it to you?
I open my mouth to try to explain, but when he sees the iron bar in my hand, he knows the score.
He did? Santa?
I nod and the kid's eyes fill with tears.
Are you gonna kill me? I'm too late.
I lower the tire iron as the kid stiffens. I notice the 3 or 4 empty baggies in his lap.
Hey, how much of that stuff did you take?
His shaking gets worse, so I throw the tire iron back into the snow and step forward. Hey, I'm not gonna kill you, kid. I came here to tell you something.
Get out of here, man.
Hey, kid. Listen, that guy you killed, his name is Nick, and he forgives you. You hear me? He sent me to tell you that he forgives you. The kid's eyes met mine, aching with a sadness and grief for just a moment before they roll back into his head and he begins foaming at the mouth. Kid, come on, kid, stay with me. Do you hear me?
Hey, what the hell is this?
He's not breathing.
That's the point!
Come on, kid, you can do it. After I put this kid in the back seat, I drove to the hospital as fast as I could, with St. Nick kicking and screaming behind me all the way.
What are you doing? This isn't what I asked for!
What are they gonna do, damn me twice?
You son of a bitch! I'm reporting this!
Don't touch that!
Is it done?
The kid's in the cab! This guy is crazy!
Talbot!
Everything's under control, Diane. Thank you.
You bastard! I knew I coddled you too much! This will not go unpunished, do you hear me? I have to report this! They're gonna come down on us all, you fuck!
I pulled the cable from the back of the radio and took a hard right as Nick tried to choke the kid out in the back seat.
Listen, you mouth breathing low life. You die. You hear me?
You can't touch him, remember?
I was on my way back. I was working for kids like you, don't you get it? You die, you piece of... You stop trying and die already!
Here we are, kid. We made it.
Go towards the light, kid. Go towards the light.
I've been responsible for too much death in this world. I'm not going to be part of another one. I don't care what consequence it brings. I dropped the poor kid on a gurney and the staff got to work. At that point, all I could do was watch from a chair across the hall. After a while, Nick arrived and sat beside me. Calm down, I see, huh?
Ho, ho, ho. Jess.
What's that?
That's the kid's name. Short for Chester. He never killed anyone before. Never hurt anyone before. After what he did to me, this was his answer. Poor kid. He doesn't know that when you die with an addiction, the craving stays with you forever. And there's no way to satiate him.
That's part of what they call hell, Nick. It looks like Santa finally had a minute to think. You give that to yourself once in a while and you find you learn a whole hell of a lot. As the kid flatlined, Nick looked up to find Chess standing there, watching him from across the busy hall. Slowly, he stood and approached his killer. They spoke for a few minutes. I don't know what they said, but it wasn't long before the kid embraced the man in the red suit. After a moment, Nick embraced him back. They stayed like that for a long time until suddenly, Chess was gone.
I got a pulse. He's coming back.
We drove in silence until I pulled up in front of the station.
You told him I forgave him. Why?
I knew you'd come around to it. It's Christmas, after all.
He told me someone told him to go towards the light. He thought it was the voice of God. I didn't have the heart to tell him it was just a bitter old junkie.
If you're saying the right thing, even a bitter old junkie can speak with the voice of God, Nick. Slowly, Nick rocked back in the seat, looking out at the falling snow.
He'll stay clean. From now on. Volunteer, get married, make a difference. Just like I did. You know, when I got in your cab, I didn't care which train I was taking. But I think you changed my ticket.
Nah, I'm just a cab driver. I don't have that kind of pull.
Forgiveness is the way out of this mess. You taught me that tonight. Maybe it's time you start listening to your own advice, Calvin.
Before he stepped out into the snow, St. Nick took off his red hat and placed it on my head. As I watched him enter the station, I caught my reflection in the mirror. I stared at that hat for a long time before I took it off, folded it gently, and tucked it into the glove box.
You see them yet, Calvin?
I almost forgot about Diane. Despite the pulled wire, she still found a way into my radio. See who?
You know who. I've done my best to keep them away, but you were on thin ice as it was. I hope it was worth it.
It is. It will be.
Don't bother with hope, Calvin. I told you. Stay away from it, whatever you do. You know what it does to people like us.
Merry Christmas, Diane.
18th and Broadway.
As much as I love Christmas in New York, the music and the cheer only lasts a few weeks. Once the celebrations are over, the winter remains. The ice that once made the city sparkle turns black and dangerous on the road. The Christmas trees, once bright and glowing, become piles of dead skeletons on the sidewalk. And the white blanket of cleansing snow grows as polluted and gray as the storm clouds parked overhead until spring. Ma'am?
Grace.
Calvin.
Calvin, thank God your heater works.
It's a cold one, that's for sure.
The trains are heated too, right?
I believe so.
Some are hotter than others.
It's not like that.
Either way, I'll take it over another winter in this city any day.
Is there somewhere you'd like to go before the station?
Would you just take me through the park?
It's your cab, sister.
In that case, drive slow, please. Suddenly, I don't mind the snow so much.
When you go, your wounds are healed, all but those you inflict upon yourself. As I glanced in the rearview, I saw Grace pull a pair of blood-soaked sleeves down her wrists. She wasn't the first suicide in my cab tonight, she won't be the last. Her scars are small. She should count herself lucky.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
When you went, did you see a light?
I'm not exactly dead.
But did you see a light? Did it speak to you?
In a way.
What did it say?
I'm not really sure. I wasn't in the mood for advice at the time, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Here we are, Grand Central Station.
Forgive me, Calvin, but I think you lied to me.
Yeah?
I think you know what the light said to you.
Train's waiting, Grace.
If you believe it, you'll make it out of this.
Oh, yeah? Well, from the looks of those wrists, I'd say you're in no position to offer advice.
Merry Christmas, Calvin.
Yeah, you too. I'm not one to lash out, but I'd have my fill of advice for tonight. As Grace made her way to the station, I spotted something moving in the snow down the street. Shadows, deep and black, gathered like a choir of carolers in the night. But they weren't bringing good tidings of great joy. Their gnarled forms cast a shape of hopelessness in the snow. The shape of lies and killers, and the ice cream man who wanders these city streets somewhere out there in the dark. The shape of demons. It looks like Diane wasn't kidding this time. Yeah, I know what the light said, lady. Unfortunately, that voice, just like mine and all the others in this cab, don't always tell the truth. The darkness, however? The darkness doesn't have to lie. And all it does is watch and wait for its chance to make me part of it. That day may come sooner than later, but until then, tomorrow's Christmas. And I mean to break all the rules I can on Christmas. I'm Calvin Byrne, and I drive the taxi for the dead.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
All the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright.
What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
The Junto Presents is brought to you by Dreams in the Witch House, a Lovecraftian rock opera, available at witchhouserocks.com. Tonight's program was produced by Mr. Robert J. Gibbs, written by Mr. David Parkin, directed by David Parkin and Robert J. Gibbs, and edited by Mr. Timothy Thompson. Featuring a performance by Mike McGill, Julie Brister, Adam Johnson, Rachel Kimsey, Amy Bedell, the ghost of Dave Labar, the ghost of Boris Shackleton, and Mr. Jake Trumbo. With a musical performance by the Cal Steven Orchestra. I am your announcer, James K. Riley, reminding you that the Junto are dedicated to mutual improvement in the lives and business they embody. Who are the Junto? Perhaps, dear listener, the Junto is you.